This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillahi wa ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillahi wa ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Welcome back. We are carrying our discussions on the Majlis of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is the idea. In our previous episode, we talked about how Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would enter the Majlis after having gone and visited all his wives. And then he would go to his last wife that he was going to spend the night with. And then he would come back and he would sit at the Hujra of Aisha radiallahu anha. He would sit right outside on the left side of the door of the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would have so many techniques that he would use for education. I mean, I have a whole book which is called The Teaching Techniques of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Al-Rasul al-Muallim, in which the author, he has described in like almost, 300 pages of all the various ways that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would impart knowledge. One thing to remember that his techniques, in all of his techniques, it was never the case that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would impart the knowledge in form of a lecture. So if you were to look at the mu'addal, an average length of a hadith from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are going to find that those ahadith, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah sajid bhai, I hope you're doing well. So the average length for those hadith is 3 lines max. If the hadith goes beyond 3 lines, so if the hadith happens to go beyond 3 lines, then either it is a story, so there is a qissa, or it's a convo, it's a conversation that is happening between two individuals. Then you would find that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would come to the majlis, and then sometimes he would start the question, and he would start the majlis with a question, and he would say, "Ala unabbi'ukum bi akbar al-kaba'ir? Shall I not tell you of the greatest of the sins?" And then obviously the Sahaba radiallahu anha, they're like intriguingly listening, and he said, "Bala ya Rasulullah, tell us about the greatest sin. Like, don't you want to know what is the greatest of the greatest sins?" Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would say, in one of the narrations it says, "Ala wa hiya shahadat az-zur, ala wa hiya shahadat az-zur, ala wa hiya shahadat az-zur. Indeed, it is a false testimony. Indeed, it is a false testimony. Indeed, it is a false testimony." The narrator, he mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam repeated "ala wa hiya shahadat az-zur" so many times that we said, we wished that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, their beloved, would stop repeating that. Another time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting there and he said, he asked the Sahaba, he said, "Shall I not tell you about someone who's a muflis?" And then he asked the question, "Man al muflis? Who is the muflis amongst us?" So the Sahaba radiallahu anha, taba'an, they were like very intrigued with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's question, and they said, "Ya Rasulullah, please tell us, atadruna manil muflis?" In another narration it mentioned, it says, "Atadruna manil muflis? Do you have any recollection, or do you know what a muflis is?" So taba'an, the sahabas, they were like so intrigued, and they said, "Ya Rasulullah, tell us who's a muflis." He said, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, he waited for the answer. So the sahabas replied, he said, "Al muflisu fina مَنْ لَا دِرْهَمَ لَهُ وَلَا دِينَارٍ وَلَا مَتَعٍ." That a muflis, a poor person, a destitute within our communities, our society, is somebody who has no money, لَا دِرْهَمَ, who's got no dollars, وَلَا مَتَعٍ, and he doesn't have things that he can enjoy in his life. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corrected that, and he said, الْمُفْلِسُ, the muflis in my ummah, annahu an innal muflis min ummati ya'ti yawm al-qiyamah bi salatin wa siyamin wa zakah. So this was another technique that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would use. Sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would be sitting there and he would ask another question, and the purpose of this question is to reframe their thoughts. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أخبروني بشجرة تشبه رجل المسلم. Give me an example of a tree that is like a Muslim. So obviously the Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhu, they started, he's like, Al-Halfa ya Rasulullah. You know, they started using different names. We don't know what names they used, but those are the names of trees that are commonly found within the Arab lands. And then you see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, La, la, this is not it, this is not it, this is not it, this is not it. And finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them, what was that tree? Annaha nakhlatun. It is the tree, a palm tree. Then another time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would use diagrams. This is something really interesting. Right before that, I remembered another hadith where a Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, you know, another question he asked is like, "Man asbaha minkum al-yawma sa'ima?" Which one of you today is fasting? So obviously the Sahaba ikram radiallahu an, had they had known that Rasulullah was going to ask them this question, every single one of them would have fasted, but they did not. And only one person, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah, sana auntie, how are you? Faja'ahum bis-su'al. This was a shock. Why is Rasulullah asking? Is it a day of fasting? Are we supposed to fast on this day? What's going on? Did we miss on something? So the only person that answered that he was fasting was Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked a follow-up question. He said, "Man 'ada minkum al-yawma maridan?" Which one of you has visited a marid today? The only person that responded was Abu Bakr. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked again, "Man tabi'a minkum al-janaza al-yawm?" Which one of you has visited a janaza today? Which one of you has, you know, followed a janaza? He prayed and then he went all the way to the qabr and then he came back. The only person that responded was Abu Bakr radiallahu an. And then he said, "Man at'ama minkum al-yawma miskinan?" Which one of you today has fed a miskin? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Abu Bakr said yes, and Rasulullah says, "Majtama'at hadhihi al-arba'a fi imri'in," that these four do not combine, i.e. if you were to have these four in a particular day of yours, illa dakhal al-jannah, the only result is going to be that person is going to enter Jannah. Then sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would draw, right? He would draw. So I'll give you an example of that. For example, one second. Let's open this. So, all right, over here. So this is an example. How do I do this? One second. I am in my, where's my stream? That's my stream. Okay, share screen. I'm going to share the screen. This is a hadith, share tab. Which one is it? I think this one. Yes, okay. All right, I'm sharing screen with you guys. So look at this particular. Okay, it's being shared. And let me go in here now.
بعث الهادي أحمد بالرحمة جاء إلينا فتهادى الكون وأنشد قد من الله علينا.
It's a very interesting diagram.
عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال
عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه he narrates
خط النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطا مربعا.
Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم drew a square. The square that you see, he drew a square like this on the ground.
وخط خطا في الوسط خارجا منه.
And then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم draw that line that you see that is cutting across. And the line was going outside the box. And then from that middle line, Prophet ﷺ drew those lines that you see, the four lines here and four lines here, multiple lines. Khutat al-sigar, minor lines. And then Prophet ﷺ said, this is insan. So this over here is ajaluhu. This is his life, his destined time that he has. And this is insan. And outside that you see is his hopes and his desires and his dreams. And then on the side, the smaller lines that you see, those are a'rad. Those are distractions and things that are going to hurt him, hit him, take him off his path, confuse him. Distractions, basically. Distractions from his amal. If one distraction or one calamity misses him, another one comes and hits him. Right. So this was a beautiful way that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described, if you think about it, the purpose of life for a human being, that you have a box. That box, you're the insan, and your ajal is determined. It's a square. Your life is determined. And every single one of us is trying our best to get to our desires, to get to our hopes, to get to our dreams, and then our life is cut short. And that is the case of majority of the people around us. Many of us had dreams. Many of us wanted to be that person. Many of us wanted to get that car or do this, but subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not written for you or for me, for anybody else, right? That. Another time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another example, let me show you another example of that. Another time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one second, give you another example. And I'm doing this because this was a really nice video that I actually saw. Chrome tab, Sirat al-Mustaqim. This is the example of Sirat al-Mustaqim that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave. Okay. Let me play this.
بِالرَّحْمَةِ جَاءَ إِلَيْنَا فَتَهَادَى الْكَوْنُ وَأَنْشَدْ قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا إِذْ
بَعْثَ الْهَادِي. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خط خطا مستويا ثم قال.
Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drew a straight line on the ground when the sahabas were sitting and they were in their majlis, and Rasulullah comes and he sees that sahaba are, in decent numbers. So he takes a line and he draws it on that sand that he's sitting on. He said, this is the path. This is the sabil al-rushd. This is the path that leads you to have an enablement within you, in which you will be able to decipher between right and wrong. Sabil al-rushd. A path, if you were to take on, Allah is going to give you the ability to be able to cut between the right and wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and me the ability to do that. And then he says, and then Prophet drew six lines at an angular, the way you see in this video. And then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and he said, all of these are paths that takes you. Those are basically, you're on a highway and those are exits. And on each exit, if you imagine imagery with me, on each path is shaitan that is sitting there. And he is calling you towards his exit. Like, hey, why are you on Sabil al-Rushd? Why are you on Sirat al-Mustaqim? Why don't you just take the exit? And that's what shaitan wants. So every exit, there is signs. There are things that you would be completely walking on your path. You are going to be absolutely perfectly on your actions. You're going to be doing things completely right. Allah would have guided you. You're doing everything perfectly. And then all of a sudden, you're going to see an ad. It's almost like you and me driving down 401 and, you know, we are in need of something, right? We have an intrinsic need. We need coffee. And then all of a sudden you see the sign and it says Starbucks. It says Tim Hortons. So I take the exit and I get off the highway. And then all of a sudden 45 minutes are gone from your life. 45 minutes. And how many of you have been in those situations where you've taken the exit and, you know, the time went on and you came back and you were like, Subhanallah, we spent an hour over here. Now we're like hour delayed from our destination, right? Similarly, you would be driving and you would have a need. What could be a need? You could have a need to fulfill your sexual desires. You could have a need to relax and you want to get some drink, right? You would have a need. And then as you're driving on this path, you're not intentionally decided to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A need arises and the shaitan has those ads on the 401. You're walking, driving on that 401 and the shaitan's got that ad saying, take this exit, it's nice. You're just going to relax. Everything's going to be good. Your need is going to be fulfilled. You will be satiated. Don't worry about it. And then what happens? We take that exit. Some people never, ever come back from that exit. They take that as their path for the rest of life. May Allah protect us from that. So these are prime examples that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use. For example, he would use this, to explain and use different techniques of teaching. One of the times Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting and he said, يَنَامُ رَجُلًا نَوْمًا فَتُقْبَتُ الْأَمَانَةُ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. A person is going to sleep and what is going to happen is amana, honesty, is going to be taken away from his heart. فَيَبْقَى أَثَرُهُ مِثْلَ الْوَقْتِ. The only thing that remains in his heart from the reminiscence of honesty is going to be, if you and I were to ever seen a candle, and if you were to put your hand on top of a candle, if you were to take a glass and put it on top of the candle, the smoke residue that comes, that residue is called waqt. So Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying the person is going to sleep, he's going to get up, and amana, honesty, will be lifted from his heart. The only thing that would remain in his heart, the only thing that would remain is one, which is that smoke cloud, the smoke left on his hand, that's the only thing that would be remaining in his heart that would remind others that once upon a time this person had amana. That was the only effect or the only residue left behind in this person's heart, that once upon a time this person had amana. Then Allah, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثُمَّ يَنَامُ نَوْمَةً فَتُقْبَدُ الْأَمَانَةُ مِنْ قَلْبِهِ. Then he's going to sleep and then amana is going to be taken from his heart. فَيَظِلُّ أَثَرُهَا مِثْلَ الْمَجْلِ. The only thing that would remain in his heart is the effect of majl. Majl over here, he says, أَثَرُ الْعَمَلْ فِي الْكَفْ وَهُوَ أَثَرُ الدَّائِمْ لَا يَكَادْ يُزَالْ. So if you have ever seen people that have like, you know, really tough hands and it's all calcified, right? You will see the calluses over here. You know, those, you could see and shake the hand of that individual and you know that this person's hands are tough. And because of that skin buildup, they're so tough that you know for a fact that he's used his hands and you know, there's been buildup of that skin. That never goes away for that individual. Similarly, the person is going to die and the only thing that would remain is that. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, that effect that he's referring to, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that effect is going to be. And then Rasulullah, he lifted, imagine this, he actually uncovered his shin, his calf, and he put his foot out like that, and then he dropped few pebbles on his leg and then they rolled down. And he said that it's, you know, the effect, if you were to take a coal, if you were to take a burning coal, and if I was to have this angular slant like this, and if I was to drop the coal on my hand, what would happen? So if I was to drop the coal on the hand, it's not going to burn, but it's going to leave some places where it would burn. So Rasulullah says, then amana is going to be left as if you know, as that rolling jamar, that rolling amber left some marks on that individual burning, that is the only effect. That is how much amana would be left in that person. وَلَيْسَ فِيهِ شَيْءٍ. Okay. دَحْرَجَ رِجْلِكَ فَنَفَتْ فَتَرَاهُ مُنْتَبِرًا. That person is going to cross that. And you know what's going to happen? Those places where those ambers crossed and touched your skin, you're not going to have a first or second degree burn, but you're going to have enough of a burn that you're going to get that water, right? You're going to get that water inside. And then when you're going to see that water, you know, the blistering water when you get burnt, what happens? He says, you're going to see that it's all popped, but it's nothing but water inside. There's nothing in there. It's all empty. May Allah protect us from that. Then sometimes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would use other techniques. Once upon a time, again, I don't want to dwell on the techniques, inshallah. These were multiple teaching techniques that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used. In our next session, inshallah, we're going to cover some of the interesting events that would take place during such majlis. So what would be some of the events? What would be some of the fun stuff that would take place during these majlis? And then we're going to talk about that, inshallah, in our next session. But that's it for teaching techniques. If you liked and if you enjoyed what we're covering, then I ask you that you please do share with your friends and with your family and let them know about this so that they can all benefit from it. I have created a special playlist on YouTube. If you're watching it on Facebook, Jazakallah Khair. But on YouTube, if you were to go, please do subscribe to that channel. But more importantly, what you would be able to do is on YouTube, you can see that in a playlist format so you can watch it successively and you can have a buildup of what's happening. And the one person that is watching on YouTube, thank you so much, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Barakallahu feekum. Please do not forget to share this with your friends and family so that everybody can benefit. And since I promised that, you know, we're going to be back with our internet issues and stuff like that, so hopefully I'll see you every single day until we can finish this, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.